Thank you for tuning in to our sermons at Upper Room Church. If this ministry is blessing you and you'd like to give back, or if you'd just like to learn more information about Upper Room, you can visit our website at upperroompensacola.com. Thank you.
So we're just glad that you're here this morning. We're excited, and I believe I got a word for you, all right? I had a message planned for this week, and God completely changed it. And so we're going to go in a different direction, but we're going to stay in the theme, in the series. It's kind of a fitting series right now, Take Your Life Back, because there's a lot of chaos trying to steal your life right now. And we started that 3 weeks ago. And so just a few things that we covered. You know, week one, we looked at how there is a lot of chaos in the world. There is a lot of bad news. There is a lot of things that if we allow it, will try to steal our joy and steal the peace and the life of God from our lives. And so we looked at the kind of the chaos and order and how do we stay connected to God even when there's things in our life that are uncertain. You know, how do we keep the faith? How do we stay strong? And so that was week one. And then last week we kind of went a little deeper in that. And our theme verse is Matthew 11, if you want to go ahead and begin to turn there. It's just two verses, but we've taken a part of this verse every week and really unpacked it. And today we're going to go a little bit deeper in this theme verse. And so what Jesus is offering us, what God is offering us, is not so much relief, but restoration. You know, and last week we talked about there's a big difference, that relief sometimes is easier because it's closer. And the world will offer relief. There's a lot of things that we can do to kind of relieve the pressure in our lives. And sometimes those things aren't healthy. And that's how we form some bad habits. And that's how, you know, sometimes we can get off course because we're reaching for relief. And what Jesus offers us, what God is offering us in our life is much deeper than relief. It's restoration. He wants to heal the things in our life. He wants to restore our life. And we see this in Matthew 11. If you have your handout, the verse is on there. And Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people. And these are leaders. These are religious leaders. These are the community leaders of that day. People that are very busy, that have a lot going on. And he says, I want you to come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Weary and burdened, that's what we're going to focus on. I want to kind of expound on what he's saying there. All who are weary and burdened, come to me and I'm going to give you some rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so he's introducing, number one, the first thing I want to draw out of this is he's talking to people that are weary and burdened, plural. And so they've got a lot of stuff that's weighing them down. And so if we looked at that word, if we looked at it in the original language and how it was originally written, the word picture there that is described to us would be like a boat that's overloaded. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a boat that's overloaded, but it'd be like taking one of these boats and just weighing it down with stuff until it begins to, you know, less and less of the side of the boat begins to show and it begins to take on water. That's the word picture Jesus is giving here. He's speaking to people who feel like their life is so overloaded that they're taking on water, right? Boats are designed to operate in the water, but they're designed to where the water doesn't get inside of them. And when the water begins to get inside of them, bad things happen. And so the illustration Jesus is giving is he's talking to people whose boats feel like they're so weighed down, they're wearied, they're burdened, they're overloaded with so much that there's not a lot of margin there. Overloaded. And the first thing I notice with this is that As he uses, it's a plural. He says you're overloaded with weights and burdens. There's all these different translations. You've got all this stuff that is weighing you down. And Jesus says, I want you to take my burden, singular. And so it makes me know, to me, that there's things in our life that we worry about sometimes that we never should have given it any energy or any emotional capacity or any thought at all. That there's things that sometimes will present themselves as bigger than they are, like fear is false emotions appearing real, that we weigh our lives down with cares and things. There's so many nights that I've stayed up worrying about stuff I wish that I could get it back. Because what happened is it all, you know, this storm too shall pass, you know, and every, you know, there's things that will appear. It's like kind of my son is part of his bedroom routine now is I check the whole room for monsters. You know what I'm saying? Behind the curtains, in the closet, you know, he thinks that there's things there that aren't really there. And so what Jesus is saying is there's going to be a time in our life where I think we can all agree that our life has been overloaded with stuff, and we've been worrying about things that maybe we shouldn't have worried about. Or maybe there's things on our boat that we're carrying around that shouldn't be there. You know, back before they had modern restrooms on an old ship, they would take everything from that part of the boat, and they would put it in a box, and they'd put it on the bow of the boat, and it would say, ship high in transit. And so you do the math on that. You take the first letter. And so how many of us are whirling around in our boats with stuff that shouldn't be on the boat, period? And that's what Jesus is saying. There's stuff weighing you down that's not from me. You're stressing yourself out. You're worrying yourself about things that from a heavenly perspective, we shouldn't be worried about. We shouldn't be carrying. And so this is the illustration that Jesus is giving here. And really our story this morning, because Jesus is telling us that the principles from this series are going to come from him. How did he handle stress? Because Jesus lived in just like we did, and he went through storms, and he had things that he faced in his life, and he faced uncertainty. And so there's a story in Mark 4 where there's a storm that shows up, and in the middle of a crisis, Jesus is cool as a cucumber. And that was really my assignment this morning for us. And it's in Mark 4. I'm going to read it. And it says that day when evening came, Jesus was with his disciples. And he said, hey, let's get on the boat, go to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And here we go. A furious squall came up. And the waves began to break over the boat. They're not supposed to do that. So that it was nearly swamped. So again, this is exactly what Jesus is describing in Matthew 11, our theme verse. There's water getting in the boat. The boat's beginning to sink. Jesus, in the middle of all this, was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. No worries, right? I mean, in the middle of a crisis, the boat is sinking and he's calm. He has peace. The disciples woke him up in a frantic panic, right? Teacher, don't you care? We're all about to die. Does it sound familiar? We're all about to drown. Breaking news. Life is over as we know it. What do I need to do? Do you even care this is happening? God, where are you in the middle of all this? Jesus got up. You know, they disturbed his nap. Don't ever wake somebody sleeping, especially Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, just let them in. Never wake a sleeping baby. I know that. But I'm thinking if God is taking a nap, maybe we should leave him alone. But I think he wanted them to wake him up. He got up, he rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still, peace, be still. Then the wind died down, it was completely calm, and he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? So he connected their fear to their faith. They were terrified now, really, and asked, who is this guy that even the winds and the waves obey him? And so I want to talk about braving the waves this morning. Because I've found in life anxiety and all panic and chaos, just like waves, they come and they go. And so braving the waves, how do we live like Jesus lived? That in a storm that had the ability to take out this boat, the boat was sinking, the disciples were freaking out, he's taking a nap. And I'm finding that in my life, most of the time, I can make a lot of unnecessary waves. That I can take a storm that's maybe a small little storm and turn it into a Category 5 hurricane by how I handle it. And what we're seeing in this illustration is Jesus is sleeping. He's calm, he has peace, but the disciples are freaking out. And I think it was how they handled it, that we can create unnecessary waves in our own life, especially when we're in the middle of a storm or when we're facing uncertainty or when chaos has kind of crept into our life and there's things that we see, and we're uncertain of our future and what's going to happen next week and what's going to happen next month, and there's all this stuff going on, and there's fear and all these things trying to grab our attention. How do we stay calm? And but number one, how do we make sure that we're not creating unnecessary waves in our life? So Jesus was calm in a crisis. And there's another story about a guy in a boat in a storm who was sleeping, but he shouldn't have been, right? Guy, I think his name was Jonah. And so I wanted to diversify the two, because Jonah, I think it's Jonah 1, it's same exact scenario, same exact situation. Jonah's in a boat, he's taking a nap, there's a storm, everybody's freaking out, they're beginning to throw stuff overboard because the ship's sinking, but there's a difference. So I'm not saying that we're going to be calm in every storm of life, and there's a time that we need to be concerned, and then there's a time that we can be calm. But Jonah was calm because he was complacent, right? He was running from God. He was running from what God had told him to do. Jesus was calm because he was confident. He knew, he trusted God. He was running towards God. Jonah, on the other hand, same exact situation, was running the other way. And so how do we diversify the two? How can we tell? Because we definitely want to be on the Jesus side of things, right? And so there's a few things I want to pull out of this. And so how do we make sure that we're not creating unnecessary waves in our life, these wave makers that we have the tendency to do? And the first thing, if you're taking notes, I'm going to use an acronym, WAVES. One way that we create unnecessary waves is with our words. I mean, a lot of times what we say can become self-fulfilling prophecies. And so if we're speaking negative and we're speaking doom, gloom, and despair, and we're speaking the worst headlines and we're speaking that over our life, what we're doing is we're creating unnecessary waves. Proverbs 18, verse 21, that death and life are in the power of your tongue. Just like God created every one of us in his image, his words are what shaped the world that we're sitting in right now. And I think there's a connection there between our words and what we say, especially when we're going through a storm, especially when we're going through times of uncertainty. We want to make it a habit. We want to make it a routine of speaking words of life, of speaking God's word over our lives, speaking God's word over our community, speaking God's words over our families. And one of the ways that I have found that really helps me do that is when you make a statement, just at the end of the statement, say, and that is just the way I want it. And so when you're talking to other people and you're saying, well, we're all going to turn into zombies and we're going to be eating each other in 3 weeks, and that's just the way I want it, right? Or I'm so fearful, I'm paranoid, I'm anxious, I don't know what I'm going to do, and that's just the way I want it. Tack that to the end of your statements for the next week and see how it doesn't change what you say. And so begin to speak faith. Begin to speak God's word. Begin to speak that, you know what, God is for me and not against me, and that's just the way I want it. You know, begin to speak that God is a God of healing. Isaiah 53, with his stripes we are healed, and that's just the way I want it. Begin to speak that God's faithfulness and goodness is greater than the fear or anxiety that's trying to come against my life, and that is just the way I want it, right? End your statements with that and begin to speak life over yourself and over the people that are around you. So we're not creating these unnecessary ways. I'm telling you, I can do it. I do it all the time. I can talk myself into a panic, worry myself into an anxiety. And a lot of times it begins with just what we're saying, our words, creating unnecessary waves. The second thing is our approach. Our approach to life a lot of times can create unnecessary waves. And what I mean by that is I'm textbook for not living life with any margin at all. Knowing if I got to be downtown at 8 a.m., I'll MapQuest it, give myself an extra 35 seconds. You know what I'm saying? You know, or whatever. If it takes me 17 minutes, I'll leave the house at 18 till, give me a good 1 minute buffer there. And then when I hit traffic or the bridge is backed up or, you know, I can't tell which lane is what, and I'm so, you know, that bridge is scary already, and then I'm complaining, and I'm upset, and I'm creating all this unnecessary waves in my life, and it wasn't anybody that did it but myself, because I'm not living with any margin. And so it's our approach. It's building margin into our life. That planning is never, ever wasted time. Planning is never wasted time. And so building margin into our schedules, I think that's been the overlying theme of this series, is living life with margin. So many people don't do that. I didn't do it. I mean, I was like, I would wash my hair in the sink, like all the time. Like, especially, I mean, I had to be at work at 7, little rub and scrub. And now they got a waterless shampoo. You know what I'm saying? You know, you just spray it in there, rub it around, you know, just kind of, you know, and then head to work. And we wonder why we're in such a rush, and we wonder why we're paranoid and we're anxious. It's our approach. It's building margin, and we live from that. The Sabbath is not really so much a I got to. The Sabbath is I get to, because we live from that rest. And so we live from that margin in our life. And the most important time that we have, one of the kind of common denominators in some of the greatest people that I know is they conquer their mornings. It's their morning routine. It's conquering that. It's setting time, a little bit of extra time. Because I say, I know my son's going to get up about dark 30. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, he's going to be, if the sun's up, he's up. And so I know if I'm going to get up and I'm going to have some coffee and let it percolate, you know what I mean? I like the French press style. And get some time in the Word, I'm going to have to build that. I'm going to have to approach it that way, because life is just going to take all the time I have if I don't watch my approach. Unnecessary waves, unnecessary waves. The third thing, I think this is the most important one right now, is voices. As your pastor, as your friend, I love everybody in here. If you're watching online, I love, this is the greatest community I've ever been a part of in my life. But I'm finding what's stealing most people's joy and faith and life is who they're listening to. Like, we're believing things that aren't real. Because not everything, believe it or not, not all breaking news is reality. And not everything that we read on our phone and on the TV and on Facebook and Instagram has any truth in it. And so I'm saying, as your friend, because I love you, be very, very, very careful what you're listening to, what you're feeding your mind with. I mean, last week I was able to get away for a little while with my family, and one of my family members just loved, they had this app, and like every 30 seconds, it was like breaking news, you know, there's a meteor heading for the earth. We're all going to die, you know, run under a rock. Like, I mean, every 30 seconds. And we're eating ice cream, and things are great, and there's a cool breeze, and it's sunny, and they're panicking over in the corner. Like, oh, you know, I'm like walking back, and I'm like, hey, listen, turn that off. Turn it off. Turn it off. Check it when you need to. Because we're creating unnecessary just stress and panic. And we're getting all worked up over things that a lot of times are just not reality. And this is what I'm finding in my life. We've got two circles that we have in our lives. We have a circle of concern, and we have a circle of control. Everybody in here, you have a circle of concern, and you have a circle of control. So you have a circle in your life of things that you can control. But then we have this circle of concern that now encompasses all 7 billion people on the planet. And so you know and are concerned about every person on the face of the earth. And until the 21st century, that wasn't possible. And so we, you know, week one, we read about this. We know that there are now dozens of studies that connect watching trauma, just watching trauma, causes trauma in our own life. You don't even have to be going through it. If you turn it on and you watch trauma and you watch doom, gloom, and despair, and you watch that, it's in your mind, you are putting yourself through that trauma. And so there comes a point where we have to differentiate. Is that even, I'm sorry. Y'all get it, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm concerned, but if it's not in my circle of control, I'm not going to sit here and meditate on it 24/7. If I can't do anything about it. And so we got to separate those, y'all. Okay, there's things in my life that I can do right now that are in my control that are going to be, it's wisdom. I want to use wisdom. But I can't concern myself with the 7 billion people on the planet right now and what's going on and what they're facing. Because if you do, it's going to suck all the joy out of your life. You're going to be a hermit. You're not going to want to come out of the house. You're not going to want to talk to anybody. You're going to hide. And here's the thing. There's always going to be something. It's always going to be something, you know, like, you know, once this happens, you know, there's always going to be some reason to try to go into paranoia and live in fear. And God has not called us. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Come on, somebody. But power and love and of a sound mind. And so if it's instigating fear in you, it's not from God. And so let's be guarded with the voices that we're listening to. Even some people, y'all, there's some people that we just need to get the gift of goodbye. Because you know who they are, and the like Debbie Downer, Negative Nancy, whatever, and all they have is just negative stuff to say all the time, doom, gloom, and despair. Eventually, you've got to say, you know what? I can't listen to that right now. Jesus had to do it. Garden of Gethsemane. Even good people can get in a bad mindset sometimes. Peter was a good person. Peter was a disciple. Peter helped build the church, was an apostle, was a firsthand observer of Jesus. And at some one point, Jesus had to look at Peter and say, hey, what you're saying is not lining up with what God's saying to me. Get behind me, Satan. Not calling him Satan, but he knew, okay, you're operating in fear. This is not this. The spirit you're in is not of God. And he discerned it and was able to shut that voice down because it was getting him off track. Is there anybody like that in your life right now? So unnecessary ways, voices. We want to limit, loose lips sink ships. Come on, somebody, right? You remember that? Posters everywhere, loose lips sink ships. It's still true today. And so we want to be guarded what we're listening to, who we're listening to, what we're filling our minds with. The next thing is expectations. We'll create unnecessary ways with our expectations. We just expect too much, or we expected something to be a certain way. And, you know, I think Jesus was really upfront with us and when he told us, you know, when it comes to this life, you're going to have trouble. You're going to face stuff. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through temptations. In this world, you'll have trouble. But he said, but you know what? If you believe in God, believe also in me. That, in my, you know, that there's this invitation to take up the yoke of Jesus is not an invitation to a perfect life or a problem-free life, but it's the invitation to a presence-filled life. And so when we face trouble, if we don't expect it, or we think life's going to be perfect, or we think life is always going to be easy, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. Because we're going to face things, we're going to go through stuff that we don't understand. I mean, nobody likes even the current condition of the world right now, what we're going through. Nobody likes this stuff, right? Bob Marley knew, so much trouble in the world, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, he was right when he said that. And so the invitation to follow God is not this invitation to a problem-free life or a perfect life at all. It's knowing that he's with us. He's in the boat too. That there's nothing that you're going to face or we're going to face that we're in it alone. And so when our expectations are kind of equal with the expectations of life, it'll keep us from creating these unnecessary waves, from maybe expecting too much or too little, and knowing that no matter what we face, God is with us. And here's the last one, how we create these unnecessary waves in our life, or I do, is just self. I'll just let self get in the way. You know, Jesus said this a few times, and we might even spend a whole week on self. Because Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you want to follow me, you got to deny your, take up my, you know, the cross. And in stuff like, if any man wants to gain his life, he's going to have to lose it. And if you want to lose, if you lose your life, though, for my sake, you'll find it. And so self, a lot of times, and I think there's two ways of approaching it. Because oftentimes, our self will want to be the center of our lives. Max Lucado wrote a book called It's Not All About You. And believe it or not, it was just a few hundreds of years ago that they discovered that the world, that the whole, you know, galaxy didn't revolve around the world. They literally thought it did, like the whole galaxy revolved around the Earth, and they figured out that it's actually the Earth revolves around the sun. And so that self's gravitational pull is to want to try to make everything about me. And there's this saying, you've probably heard it dozens of times, that I'm the captain of my own soul. And I think that's dangerous territory. Because there is a part of us that always wants to lead and be out front and lead our lives. But I think when it comes to serving God, it's a life of surrendering self. And knowing that what is best for me is what God is going to give me. And there will be times in my life that what I want for my life and what God wants for my life are not going to level up. They're not going to be the same. And you know, the unsinkable ship, the Titanic, many people, we've watched the movies, and many people believe that an iceberg sunk the Titanic and was supposed to be unsinkable, but it wasn't the iceberg. It was the captain, Edward J. Smith. He received 9 warnings that there were icebergs. But because he wanted to set a new record for the ship, he just kept on plowing and kept on running. And he kind of, I think, let self ego. Ego is what I'm talking about. Not like who you are and your identity in Christ, but ego can create unnecessary waves. And so ignoring 9 warnings and staying the course and heading towards New York. And so it wasn't really the iceberg. It was somebody's ego. And so we got to be really careful. Because our egos will do that to us. We can't trust ourselves sometimes. And we can't trust that part of our lives. And so it'll create these unnecessary waves. And so here we go. That's the first part. But this is what I really want to give you this morning. Is how do we brave the waves of life? So we can create these unnecessary waves. And I think being conscious of these things will help us stay centered and stay connected to our faith. But how do we stand, you know, in a world that seems like it's just kind of in chaos right now, and be brave and be who God's called us to be and demonstrate our faith and not kind of shrink back in fear, but be able to face that? Because there are some storms and things in our lives. We create ways, but there are some times where God will, because if we read our text this morning, Jesus sent them into this storm. You know, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He told them to get in the boat. He sent them into this storm. And so sometimes it's in these seasons of trials and these seasons of life where we're facing storms where God will use our faith the most. It's in times like this where we know that people are watching our lives, that those that maybe don't have the faith that we share are seeing how we're going to react, what we're going to do. How are we carrying ourselves? And so how do we remain brave in the midst of adversity, in the midst of the storms of life? And I want to read one verse, and then I want to kind of give you the acronym. How do we stay brave and brave these waves? And I love this verse, Philippians 4, verse 6. And Paul is writing, he says, you know, when it comes to the storms of life, that there is a way to face these things and still have peace. That we don't have to freak out, that we don't have to go and get, you know, allow the chaos around us to get in us. And he says that we should be anxious for nothing, right? Don't be anxious about anything. You know the Greek word for that word, nothing? It's nothing. You know, you can have peace even when it seems like the world is upside down and going crazy, that you don't have to let it steal your joy. Be anxious for nothing, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, let God know what's going on. And the peace of God, anybody need the peace of God in their life this morning? And the peace of God, which transcends everything that we're facing on this earth, understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And put the first part of that verse up there. Be anxious for nothing. So that word anxious in the Greek is actually marinate. It's where we get the English word marinate. And so what I think the writer is saying is, what is your mind marinating in? What are you filling your mind with? How do we keep from allowing anxiety and chaos and all this stuff? It's what we're marinating our minds in. Be not conformed to the way of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And again, I feel like y'all, some of y'all think that I have just like this total agenda against social media and news, but I don't. I think it's good to stay informed, but at some point, if we're marinating our minds in this stuff, it's what's going to begin to produce in our life. And so the key here of being brave and being able to stand toe-to-toe and know that, okay, Jesus is with me in this, and there's no need for me to panic, it comes down to something as simple as that. And I think the way that we apply it, how do we stay brave, is number one. I think that B is just to breathe. You notice the first thing you stop doing when you panic? You just real short breaths. You go into panic mode. You're not thinking about your breaths. You're not thinking about your breathing. Your breath gets shortened. You start panicking. It feels like the room's closing in. Sometimes it's just taking, and we talked about this week one, pausing and just breathing. Breathing. You know, the Jewish custom, one of the oldest names of God was Yahweh. And they believed that Yahweh, when you say it with the Jewish vernacular, and I'm not going to try, was actually just a breath. Yahweh, breathing in and out. And so they believe that the name of God, one of the oldest names of God, was just simply breathing. And so when I say breathe, I'm not just saying breathe, I'm saying you're meditating on the goodness of God. You're realizing that He is present with you. Box breathing is one way that I can get kind of panicky even before I speak. And I'll notice that my breath gets shorter, I start getting nervous, I start trying to find ways to cancel, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I'm feeling a little sick, I'm going to have to go, you know, like when I first started doing this, I was the greatest person at making up excuses on why I couldn't show up to a church and speak when I would get invited, because I would panic, I would freak out, I had so much anxiety over it. And box breathing is just, it's just being aware of your breath. And it's kind of like, you know, 15 seconds up, holding it for 15 seconds, 15 seconds exhale, and then leaving it there for 15 seconds. And you're like, this sounds crazy. I know it kind of sounds crazy, but it's a way to stay brave, especially when we're facing things that have the ability to steal our peace and our joy. It's just being aware that God is with me, and God is in this moment right now, and that there's nowhere I can go to escape the hand of God in my life, that He is right. David said, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in the very bottom of hell, behold, there you are. That God is present in every circumstance, everything that we face. And so sometimes just a pause, a one-minute pause, it's creating this sacred space for God to come and fill. The second thing, which is so important, is we breathe and then we remember. We remember, we remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God. And you see it dozens and dozens of times in the Old Testament. Remember the Lord your God. I think it's Psalm 103. Remember the Lord your God and forget not all of His benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. That when we're, you know, faced with the storms of life, one of the things that we want to remind ourselves of is that God is still faithful. And that, you know what, some of y'all in here that have lived in Florida for a while, you have faced several hurricanes. And you know they come and they go, right? And you made it through Ivan, and you made it through that one, and you made it through Opal, and you made it through. And it's just reminding yourself that, okay, when it's approaching, it's easy to get panicked, and it's easy to feel like, oh my goodness, this is scary. But God He's already brought me through so many storms, right? And I know that this one's no different, and that at the center of it, that God is still in control, and I'm going to remind myself of the faithfulness of God. Memory is a gift, and it can also be a curse. Memory is from, and so we remind ourselves right now in these times of life that God is for us, that God is with us. I'm going to remember His goodness. I'm going to remember that He's still Jehovah Rapha, right? He's still the God who heals. I'm going to remember that God is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. I'm going to remember the goodness and the grace and the presence of God. I'm going to remember. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to remember. The third thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ask. You know, I'm not a real political person, and you probably don't hear me talk about politics much. But today, our president has declared as a national day of prayer. And I personally think that's one of the greatest things he's done since he's been in office. And he put out a statement, and it's incredible. Several verses in that statement. But in that statement, he just plainly put, ask for the health and the well-being of our country. And I don't think there's a greater time than now than to do that. On this national day of prayer, we're not gonna panic. We're gonna ask God and know that He's still able to do the miraculous. That He's still able to speak to storms. He's still able to say, "Peace, be still." He's able to do things. And here's what I love about it is that when there's things I'm facing in my life that are not in my circle of control, but they're in my circle of concern, what I should do is consult with the person who everything is in his circle of control. Come on, somebody, right? And so instead of freaking out about what I can't control, I'm going to talk to the one person who controls everything. And so we ask God in this time, and as a nation, we're doing that today. We're asking God to heal our land. We're asking God to rebuke the devourer. Come on, somebody. We're asking God to push this sickness back and to keep our family safe and our community safe. And sometimes it's as simple as asking. Philippians 4, verse 6, make your requests known to God. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened. James 4, verse 2, you have not because you ask not. And so we stay brave in this time because we know we're asking a God who can do all things, who's able to do all things. And so we ask. And then the next thing, we breathe, we remember, we ask. And then I want you to do this. I want you to visualize. Visualize that whatever you're facing and going through in life, that Jesus is with you. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. And there's nothing that we're going to face that He's not with us. And then there's another story in the New Testament about a storm, and the disciples came across the storm in Matthew 14, and it says that Jesus came walking on the water to them, and they didn't recognize Him. And I've noticed that in life, in the storms of life, sometimes it's hard to recognize God. It's hard to find God, especially when we're facing uncertain times, and we're going through things that we don't quite understand. But I want to remind you, I want to encourage you, I want you to visualize this even right now, that God is with you, that God is with us, even as a nation, that God is with us. And so there's nothing we're facing on our own, there's nothing we're going through that God is not cleanly aware of. And so that's how we stay brave, right? That's how we keep these storms at bay and we don't allow the storm to get into us. And then here's the last one, and I think really this is the most important of all of these things that begin to happen. And because there's always something to worry about. Have you noticed that? There's always something, the dust never settles. Like, there's always something to worry about. There's always something to be concerned about. There's something. And I think one of the greatest ways that we can kind of stay out of that and stay in the peace of God and be brave in the face of whatever storm that we may face in our life is just to elevate our perspective. And we do that through one way. And I think one of the greatest things that we have as believers, and it's the reason why we do it every single week as a church, when we gather, is we worship. Because I'm finding in my life, it's impossible to really worship and worry at the same time. Like, when you really worship, when you really elevate your mind and you think about the goodness of God and you sing about the goodness of God and you sing about His faithfulness and you sing about how He's a healer and how He's a provider, that it's impossible for it's like, I think it's like oil and water, for worry and worship to exist in your mind and in your soul at the same time. And I think that's why as a church, even over the next few weeks, they're uncertain. We don't know if we're going to be able to gather together in a building. But I do know we're still going to be able to gather together. And one of the most important things that I want to encourage you to do and to not let the worry steal from you right now is your worship. Is that at some point in your day or some point in your week, you're hitting the pot, you're putting on some worship music. What it's doing is it's elevating you. It's elevating your soul. It's elevating your mind. It's putting your mind on heaven. It's putting your mind on God. It's putting your mind on Him. And what happens is the worry and the stress and the anxiety and all the stuff that seems to be pumped into our homes right now, pumped into our phones and pumped in through the media, just kind of gets quieter and quieter and quieter. And God begins to elevate us above the storms of life. One of the coolest things I love about eagles, we have a few at Fort Pickens, is, you know, they don't actually fly through storms. And so the way God designed the eagle is pretty amazing. They have this like protective layer over their eye, their retinas. And so they just put their wings out, and as the storm gets greater, what happens is they just elevate. And eagles can fly thousands and thousands and thousands of feet into the air. And so they don't actually go into the middle of a storm. They rise above it. I think it's that verse in Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord, right, shall renew their strength. They'll rise up like wings with eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they won't get faint. That is what worship does for us. And that's why I think we're going to end this. I'm going to read this last verse, and we're going to sing this verse this morning. Psalm 123, verses 1 through 4. I look to you, God, heaven-dwelling God. I look up to you like servants alert for their master's commands, like a maiden attending to her lady. We're watching. We're waiting. We're holding our breath because we know God's going to come through, awaiting a word of mercy. It's elevating our perspective. It's worship. It's allowing God to take us up. Not saying that we're not going to face things, but God is able to see us through, and His faithfulness is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And so that's how I want to end this service. I want to ask you just to stand, and we're going to sing that verse together this morning. And so we're going to just if you would, let's pray together. Just bow your head. And Father, we thank you so much for faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, as we worship together to close this service out, Lord, I just pray for your peace. And even if you're watching online right now, you should just in this moment spend a time in worship. If you're in your house, if you're driving, just don't close your eyes if you're driving. Come on, just in this moment right now, worship God and watch how that worship elevates you.